now that you're here, Jesus, you're here, Jesus, you're here, and all things are possible, now that you're here.
Amen. If we open our Bibles this evening to Romans 8, verse 28-29. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Do we have the camera? Sorry. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that you have come down in this hour. We're so thankful that all things are working together for our good. And so, Father, we recognize, as we spoke of Sunday, that we have our place in you, that you ordained for us before the foundations of the world, and yet somewhere between the new birth and there, we are standing. But yet, Lord, knowing that all things are working together for that status, and so where we are now, whatever our circumstances are, whatever the trials and tribulations we are going through, we know they're working together to place us in that place what you ordained for us before the foundations of the world. Be with us tonight, Father, and help us in our stand, to take a stand. And as Paul said, when we've done all we can do to stand, then therefore stand. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, as we read the other day, the first part of this scripture here shows your standing or your current state. As we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God. So we see this working together for the good is a process that you are now undergoing. It shows progression towards a goal somewhere, and that goal is a status whereby God saw you and ordained for you even before he made the universe. And then he goes on to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now that's your status. That's where God saw you before the foundations of the world. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, the word predestinate speaks of an action, of something which God ordained for you to do. And to be conformed shows that there's a process involved. Because it's not just a picture, and then the picture is instantly there. There's a development that takes place. And I imagine even with the type of pictures we have today in the e-formats or the electronic, there still is a period of time from when that picture, when that shutter lens goes to where that picture is actually developed in a formatted print. Now, it's infinitesimally smaller amount of time than it was when you had to take it to the lab, soak it in acids and different things like that. But there's still a process involved. So we see then that everything you are going through is working together to get you to where God ordained you to be. And that is why Peter said in 1 Peter 1:7 that the trial of your faith is to be more precious to you than gold or silver. In 1 Peter 1:5-7 we read, "You who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season if need be," excuse me, "you're in heaviness through manifold testings, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, that it might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Now, the Weiss translation words this verse in a way that is even more positive than the wording of the King James Version. The Weiss translation says, "In which last season you are to be constantly rejoicing with a joy that expresses itself in a triumphant exuberance. Although for a while at the present time, if perchance there is a need for it, you have been made sorrowful in the midst of many different kinds of testings, in order that the approval of your faith, which faith was examined by testing for the purpose of being approved, that the approval being much more precious than the approval of gold which perishes." In other words, you're put to the test because God knows you're going to pass it. You see? We give the kids the test at the end of the grade, at the end of the school year, because they will reflect in their exam what they learned during the year. Now, if the child failed, it was because he didn't learn. Then he's got it. Well, then he knows what's on the test next year. And he goes back and takes it again. And he keeps taking it until he finally gets it right. So we see that God uses all these trials. He uses all these tests to work into our flesh what he ordained there to be when he took his snapshot in his mind before the world even was formed. And we also know that all sons who come to God must first be tried and chastened. In Hebrews 12 and verse 5 we read, And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto us as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and he scourges every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? So you see then, the very purpose of the test, the scourging, the trials, is to build into you that end product, is to get you from standing to stature. Proverbs 3 and verse 11 says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. And Proverbs 19 and 18 says, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare his crying. While there's hope, when is that? Well, when he's too old to cry, it's not going to do you any good. He says, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. That's a young kid. 2 Samuel 7:14, I will be his father and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. So you're going to get it if you need it. And Deuteronomy 21:18, if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them, they're supposed to take him to the whole congregation and they're going to beat him. Stone him. Put him up. Put, he said, and the Bible says, put him out from, put that evil away from you. Well, we don't do that exactly in this day. You might get a 4x4 sometimes. Usually, it's verbal. Well, we even see the same rule applied to Jesus Christ, who learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Hebrews 5 and 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And we see what suffering Brother Branham went through for God to be able to take him to the place where he could use Brother Branham. And Brother Branham would always be waiting on God. Well, Jesus Christ, the eldest son, fought a good fight. And he ran with patience the course that was set before him. And Paul said, henceforth there is laid up for him, and for me, he said, a crown of righteousness, or right wiseness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give him at that day. And not to him only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So if it was given to the firstborn son, it'll be given to you. Amen. So the trial of your faith is not just for you. But Scripture tells us every son who comes to God must first be tested. So each of us must endure the trial of our faith. And those trials are meant to bring us to the place of your status, where God saw you before the foundations of the world. And so we have, of course, our course set before us, just as Jesus Christ, the firstborn son, had his course set before him. But we are fortunate to have the pattern already set. So we do not have to cut the pattern ourselves. You know, the trailblazer is the person who cuts the trail so that others following will not have such a difficult time following. And Jesus Christ, by faith, he trailblazed our path and laid down each step for us that we might not stumble and we might not fall. In 1 John 3:22 we read, beloved, now are we sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope, this earnest expectation in him, purifies himself, even as he is pure. So what is this purification? We're told in Psalm 119 that a young man purifies himself by taking heed to the word. We know we're washed by the washing of water by the word. So there is a purging that must go on, and God lays that on us to do. not on him. God is not going to purge you. You're going to have to purge yourself. Look, God doesn't beat you over the head or push you through a tube and then say, blessed is he that overcomes. Brother Branham said that, you know. In his sermon, Marriage of the Lamb, Brother Branham, in reading from the book of Revelations, he says, and we know that there's going to be a bride and there's going to be a wedding supper served in the sky. That's just as sure to be as God is, because it is the Word. And we know that those that are going to make up that bride is going to be his church, and they're going to appear before him without spot or wrinkle. And they have the material on earth now to make themselves ready. You mean we don't need a prophet to come back to make us ready? No, you don't. The thing is, if you're not ready, you won't be there when the prophet comes back. You're getting the cart before the horse. If you notice, it says, she has made herself ready. So many says, well, if the Lord will take this evil spirit from me, from drinking and from gambling and from lying and stealing, I'll serve him. But that's up to you. You got something to do too. Amen. They that overcome shall inherit all things. They that overcome. You have power to do it, but you must be willing to lay it down. See? She has made herself ready. I like that. You see, God could not push us through a little pipe, pull us out the other end, and then say, blessed is he that overcometh. You had nothing to overcome. He just pushed you through. But you've got to make decisions for yourself. I have to make decisions for myself. In doing that, we show our faith and our respect to God. Now listen. He says, he that overcomes shall inherit all things. Now your status is a son. Is that correct? You're a son. But did not Brother Branham tell us that if you're not the right kind of a son, you won't have inheritance? What's the right kind of a son? He that overcometh shall inherit. So the overcomer, the one who makes a decision and sticks by that decision, he's willing to put in the discipline to do what God tells him to do. I'm not talking about works. I'm talking about being the right kind of a son. I'm talking about being a Christian. Amen. So many people just talk, talk, talk. Talk's cheap. Talk is very cheap. She made herself ready. I like that word. You see, God could not push us through a little pipe, pull us out the other end, and say, blessed is he that overcomes. Because you had nothing to overcome. He just pushed you through. But you've got to make a decision for yourself. I have to make decisions for myself. And in doing that, we show our faith and our respect to God. Ephesians 3:12 says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Now listen, if you know that you're standing as the sinless bride of Jesus Christ, washed by the blood, because not because you're talking in the light or talking about the light, but you're walking in the light. You have a walk that goes with it. Then you have access by faith into his mercy, into his grace, into his peace. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Ephesians 2:18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And Romans 5:12, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we now stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in coming to the place where we will have the glory, we will have the values, we will have the opinion. And when you look at me, when I look at you, I will see Jesus Christ, and you will see him too. So we see that we have access through faith, which is revelation. And this access to God's mercy and access to God's grace helps us to find our way through the trial of our faith. In other words, it's a trial. I don't know if anybody, well, there's nobody that ever lived that got 100% except for Jesus Christ. He got an A+. Closest to that, I don't know. You tell me. Enoch, perhaps? So we see that we have access through faith, which is revelation. And we have access. Listen, we have access to God's mercy. Now, that's a great thing. And to his grace. His unmerited favor. Nothing we did. It's what he did. And now we see that faith begins it all. Faith brings us into grace. And remember, 2 Peter tells us that our grace is multiplied by the knowledge of God. And so we see that faith gives us access, and faith is a revelation. And this revelation is the word of God revealed to us. And never forget, this word of God is a seed. And if it's a seed, it's a carrier of life. Then when the life that is in the word is made known, it is released back into our lives, and therefore it takes over, or there it takes over. It must bring forth after its own kind, and that kind or nature is the very nature of the author of life, which is God himself. That is why Peter told us that everything we have need of pertaining to life comes from the word. He said for us to receive God's, even for us to receive God's divine nature, it must come through his word. Now in Romans 4, we're told that not only does faith bring us access to the grace and mercy of God, but it brings us character as well, therefore purifying us in the process. And this lets us know that the trial which we are going through are only but indicators of the current standing in our path to the adoption. Now, if I was training you to be an electrician, and I had certain stages along the way to be an electrician, the first thing I would have you do is to learn how to put in a receptacle. And after I watched you a few times, I'd let you do a few on your own. But now, you might put in the receptacle, but then when it comes down to the power box downstairs, you know, you might be a little skittish. Well, once you've been trained to do the power box, you know, you find out, hey, there's a few simple things we need to do. Just turn off the main power, and I can touch everything in that box. Okay, no problem with that. Now, let's hook up the wire from the power box to the meter. Now, let's hook up from the meter to the pole. All right? As we progress, it's nothing for me to, having, you know, done half a dozen houses, to sit in wire receptacle or wire switch. I still don't like wiring it to the main power outside. And I'll hire someone for that. So as we go up, we get tested for what we know. That testing, the only reason you get tested in a certain area is because you're weak in that area. You don't get tested where you're absolutely 100% having no problem. Or if it is a test, it's not a test to you. Like I said, I could take a first grade test, second grade, 12th grade test, whatever. They're not going to be a problem. Not a problem. But they're going to be a problem for some people if you haven't got there yet. I'll give you a 12th grade test. And I'll give me a 12th grade test. It's not going to be a problem for me, but it's going to be a problem for you because you're not there yet. Right? So your test comes from God where you're currently standing. You understand? That's why your circumstances that you go through is where you're currently standing. If you have trouble stealing, when the girl gives you wrong change at the Walmart, which is probably 99% going to happen, because they can't count. Not all of them, but some of them, most of them. I don't know, maybe not most of them, but a lot of them. Are you going to give her back the correct change? There's your test. Why are you getting that test? Huh? I just asked you the question. You get tested where you have need of. Okay? Now this brings us to the place of all things working together to produce in you the glorified position or condition that God ordained for you before the world began. God uses the sowing and reaping and all the circumstances and trials and tests that we go through to produce in us that glorified condition that he ordained for us even before he created one molecule or one atom. And it all began to come to pass because God came down to bring it all about in this shout. Brother Branham said, he who gave the promise is here to confirm it. Confirming it means he's putting it into action. Is not that what the Apostle Paul told us? He said, they without us cannot be made perfect, cannot be made mature, cannot be finished off. And William Branham said that they have got to have this message. That's what he said. So it is this message that changes us first in the inner man And as Paul said in Romans 12, we receive our transformation by the renewing of our mind. Look, we didn't even know that we were sons. We never had a clue as to seed in God's life coming forth in that seed. No one spoke on seed like William Branham did. Like Brother Branham said, we all thought that we would leave this earth and go to heaven and sit on a cloud and have a harp and such silly notions as that. But now we understand that we are coming back to earth in bodies that are commensurate with our glorified mind. Yes, our glorified mind. That is why he comes to earth in this hour, is to be glorified in his saints. Right? Well, that's because the mind is in you. It's in the saints. Because your mind must be glorified before the body can be glorified. And that word glorified is in doxazo, which means in the same values, in the same opinion expressed. In. The word en, doxa, zo, zoi. En, doxa, zoi. Okay? En means in. Doxa is God's values, his opinion. And zoi is the life. Expression. The expressed life. So you've got in the expressed life is the values and the opinion. When he comes to be glorified in his saints. So if I cannot see Jesus Christ in you, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Because it's getting pretty late. And so the whole process begins by faith, and that faith gives us access to the glory of God, to his values, to his opinion, and faith is a revelation. And so he is now making the changes in the body of this death, bringing you from mortal to immortal. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 8, verse 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So he is here doing it, brothers and sisters. And that which he has begun, he will perform it to the end. It's Christ in you working to will and to do. But you've got to let him. And Brother Branham said, as we read the other day, Brother Branham said, and you've got to will that he would. You've got to will that he will. In 1 John 3 and verse 9, we read, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. That word commit means initiate. For his sin remaineth in him. And he cannot sin. He cannot disbelieve. Because he's born of God. And remember, as long as that God life is in you through seed, through the new birth, you have access to the divine nature. For the divine nature to express itself through your mortal body. In Matthew 7 verse 17 we read, even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire, wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. And we know the fruit is the teaching of the season, but there's 9 other fruits as well. I just heard Brother Branham on the tape before I came here from Serpent Seed, listening to the message Serpent Seed, and Brother Branham said, he said, if you have the Holy Ghost, you will have love, joy, peace, long-suffering. You will have the fruits of the Spirit. Amen. And they will manifest from you. So you can't just say, well, I've got the doctrine and I can just shove it to everybody else. No, I'm sorry, but you're not born again. You might have the doctrine, but you're not born again. If you don't have the 9 fruits, I'd rather have the 9 fruits and not have the 1 fruit than have the 1 fruit and not have the 9 fruits. At least I'm 9/10 there. And if I do have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and all these other things, I'm going to be open to the doctrine. Not a put-on love, not a put-on peace and all these things. I'm talking about a genuine. The fruit is the teaching of the season, and therefore a good tree cannot bring forth bad teaching. But just because you recognize a ministry that is right, and you try to imitate that ministry, doesn't mean that you have it right yourself. As Brother Vail has told me so many times concerning certain people, and I won't get into that, who they are, but he said, Brian, they've got it, but they don't got it. Now, how can you have it without having it? Because although you might say the same words, you don't have the same spirit, you don't have the same inflection in those words. And remember, and never forget the words of Jesus Christ himself. He said, the word killeth, but the spirit giveth life. Look, those people filled with demons knew who Jesus was better than the priests did. They said, "Oh, Son of God, have mercy on me." That's Matthew 8:28. And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no man might pass by the way, or by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" These guys had the doctrine, and they were full of devils. Did I say something wrong? I'm telling you, make sure your spirit's right and your heart is right. Because these devils knew that he was the Son of God, which means there's one who's God and one, and he had a son. And they had the doctrine down perfect, and they were full of demons. And then the demons cried out and said, "Have you come to torment us before our time?" It was a palm reader on the bus that recognized a pillar of fire over the head of William Branham when others could not even see it. So just because you may recognize a servant of God and try to say the same thing that he says, it doesn't necessarily mean that you know what you're talking about. And it's very apparent that there are many who have not got a clue by the way they treat other people. In Psalm 101, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners," that's disbelievers, unbelievers, "nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful," that's a person just all the time, just negative, negative, negative all the time. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit," his teaching, "and the fruits of the Spirit," because fruit is fruit, "in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind," the doctrine, "driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." And that word "knoweth" is a Hebrew word, yada, and it means the Lord watches over with an active participation. "But the ungodly, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." That word "perish" is nada, N-A-D-A, with a little hyphen over it. And it means they're just left to themselves. God leaves them to themselves. There is no chastening with them. They're not his. You run across the street to chase the neighbor's kid? No, you just leave him alone. He's somebody else's kid. So we find in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." And why do they hear his voice? Because they know him too. They're known and known. You know, he said, "Shall be known and are known. And I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." You cannot pluck yourself out of his hand. And neither can some big shot preacher pluck you out of his hand. "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." How many times I've seen around this message, from the first time I came in till even 30 some years later, how many years is it now? 74 to 30, almost 40 years, 37 years. And it doesn't change. Preachers wanting to lord over God's heritage, rule the people with fear. That's Jeremiah. That's not what God called. No man can pluck you out of his hand. Then if no man can pluck them out of his hand, then what are you afraid of? Look, they can try to put you out, but they won't be able to do it. Your status is locked in. And it is just your current standing that is able to be moved. You sow wrong, brothers and sisters, and you will reap what you sowed wrong. But you sow right, and you will reap the right things that you sow. As the proverb says, you sow to the wind, you'll reap the whirlwind. But that won't take you out of God's purpose and plan. It just means that you'll have a harder time obtaining the promise, and you'll certainly struggle with a lot more things. And what you sow here, you will reap not only here, but you're going to reap over there as well. Did not Jesus say, if you give a family and houses here, you will receive not only here, but over there as well? Mark 10:29, and Jesus answering them said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. You're going to receive it all back with persecutions. It's all right. We're going to receive it on the other side as well. Did not the prophecy over William Branham say, because thou hast chosen the harder way? You've chosen it. You have chosen it by your own choosing. I'm reading from Brother Branham's sermon. Of course, we know that Moses had to make his choice, said, this is the precise and correct way because it's my way. And what a glorious decision you've made, said, because of this, a large portion of heaven awaits you. And this in itself is that which will make and bring to pass the tremendous victory in the love divine. Amen. All three was the same. I thought I had that in my Bible tonight. I looked in here, but I didn't. The original copy of it. And that was from Brother Branham's, not choosing of a bride, but I don't remember where I picked up this one. But anyway, it's word for word. So you sow and you'll reap. So then, and keep sowing, and you're going to reap abundantly. Now you have a status that was in God's mind before the world was framed, but you've got to sow to that calling or that status for that status to produce itself. Because Brother Branham said, being in the family is just the beginning, but you've got to be the right kind of a son to be adopted. Now you can never do away with your sonship, but you can do away with your inheritance. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, nevertheless the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. So those things of dishonor, get rid of, and you'll become a vessel of honor. Now listen, if you don't become a vessel of honor, you're not going to have inheritance. Let me just read it for you. If a man therefore purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So Brother Branham says from Serpent Seed, he said, we're not here as a bunch of illiterate crackpots. We know where we're standing in the Word of God. Now, brothers and sisters, you've got to know where you're standing in this Word. I don't care how much you identify with the man William Branham. I don't care how much you can call Brother Vail your teacher. I know brothers who claim both, to follow both, and have for over 40 years, and have run into error concerning something as simple as baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is, as Paul said, it's one of the principal things in the doctrine of Christ. He said, going beyond the principal things, let's go on to perfection. Laying aside baptism and repentance from sin. That's part of baptism, you know, repent and be baptized. How someone 40 years following William Branham, following Lee Vail, and could be baptized or teach baptism in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? You tell me. Now listen, to get the whole thing of what Brother Branham says here, he says, if we're teaching baptism in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, it's false prophecy. Now I don't want to hurt you, but I got to pin this down so that this church will know what? That we're not here as a bunch of illiterate crackpots. We know where we are standing in the Word of God. See, we know, and I challenge anybody to show me one place where anybody was ever baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now, are you going to listen to false prophecy or the truth? Search the scriptures, it's up to you. Show me where one person in the Bible, where a church was ever ordained a denomination in the Bible. Show me in the Bible where they ever ordained a woman preacher. Show me in the Bible where all of these things that we've been talking about ever was ordained in the Bible. They're not there. Tell me one place. Now come on, brothers and sisters, we got to face the issues. We have people in pulpits that are certainly there only because someone laid hands on them and made them their pastor. Or made them a minister, called them a minister, and they had no more a call from God than nothing. Your fruits show what you are, your actions, and what you teach. And the ones who laid hands on them are no better than the ones who got their hands laid on. Didn't Simon the sorcerer go to Peter to lay hands on him? He said, Peter, lay hands on me and give me the gift that you've got. I'll even pay you money. I'll give you money to do it. And what did Peter say? Go to hell with your money. That's what he said. I'm not up here cussing. He said, to hell with you and your money. Now, Brother Bram said from his sermon, does God ever change his mind? He said, I do not believe that you lay hands on people and give them gifts. Gifts and callings are without repentance. They are predestinated of God to meet the age and the time of that age. Any Bible student knows that's the truth. And these same preachers went into error concerning baptism and all things. And the Apostle Paul said that the baptism is one of the elementary things. It's one of the principal things concerning the doctrine of Christ. And yet they led brothers astray and are still leading brothers astray concerning other scriptures as well. Teaching that the fullness of the Godhead is in the bride and taking Ephesians 4 for their Bible text. Shame on them. And then fussing over the fact that William Branham said that if you have the Spirit of Christ in you, you will have the nature of Christ in you. You'll have the fruits of Christ in you. And you'll do the works of Christ. And then fussing with someone who would quote a vindicated prophet and then say the brother's wrong because he quoted a prophet? We know better than that. And we had better know where we're standing. Because if you don't, something else is going to come along and take you out with it. From the message Christ, Brother Brown said, the church is the only one that will live today and not go out into universalism and so forth. Now let me just stop here for just a moment and tell you that I know a certain preacher right in this message that teaches or has taught universalism from their message pulpit. I say, well, what's universalism? Universalism is a theological doctrine that says that everybody is going to be saved. And I heard this minister say right in a restaurant that even the devil will be saved. And claim to believe a prophet vindicated by God who said that's there's no truth to that kind of garbage. Hell is made for the devil and his angels.
Right.
Universalism, they don't believe in hell. You know, everybody gets maybe a little bit of punishment depending on your degree of punishment is depending on how bad you were. But that's more of a moral punishment anyway, more of a social thing. Eventually you'll be restored and everything's in their place. The devil, good old brother Satan, I guess. You know, right in this message, now can you understand why I hammer the way I do? I'm not going to tell you names, but I could. They say, well, the Bible says that Elijah will come and restore all things. And so all things are going to be restored. But don't they understand Paul said that the saints are all things in Christ? We are the all things. They are the nothings, or Brother Branham called them haints. So Brother Branham continues, and out into this modernistic social gospel. And don't tell me there aren't churches that preach a social gospel. Afraid to teach the doctrine of Christ, and so it's focused on the family. Is that not a social gospel? Focus on the family? Shouldn't our focus be on Christ? If the family's focus is on Christ, you're going to see a lot of little messiahs in that family. But if their focus is on the family, you're going to see fights and everything else going on. So Brother Brown continues, the church is the only one that will live today that won't go after those things. Because she is the one who's got the blood on the doorpost out there, of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and born again. They know where they're standing if they're really born again. And they'll not be entangled with every yoke and every doctrine and tossed about here and there and every cult. They know where they're standing in Christ through the blood. And in closing from Uncertain Sound, Brother Branham said, Jesus standing here on earth, he knew where he stood. He knew who he was. He said, I have power to lay my life down. I have power to take it up again. No uncertainty about that. I have, hallelujah, I now have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up. Yes, sir. No one holds me. Any man or woman that's born of the Spirit of God knows where they stand. Regardless of what takes place or how many says yes or no, they know where they stand. There's no uncertain sound. Hallelujah. Oh, my. And from Hear Ye Him. If the new life that you think you receive doesn't pattern with God's Word, you've got the wrong life in you. The life of Christ will produce the works of Christ. It will produce the faith of Christ. It will make you act like Christ. It will make you love Him. He will be first in your life. Your objectives, your motives, and everything will be altogether different. It'll be for the glory, the values, the opinion of God. And from Jehovah Jireh said, and that same Holy Spirit that was in Jesus Christ will have to be operating in His church to make them coincide together at the rapture, or it won't go up at that time. The Spirit that was in Jesus will have to be in His church, or the two pieces won't dovetail together. The life of the church and the life of Christ cannot dovetail together. The body setting there to make reconciliation, to make intercession upon our confession, and the spirits in the church. And finally, from Seven Church Ages, Brother Bram said, lukewarm, that's a horrible condition for the church to be in. You don't watch. If you don't watch that brand, if you don't watch, the Branham Tabernacle got in that same way. Now listen, you know these things. It's been taught year after year after year after year over this platform, warning you of these things are coming. When the Bible said that there would be a time where they go from east to west and north to south and trying to find the true word of God and fail to find it, you'd better get anchored and to where you know where you're standing. Now, brother, sister, if you are standing anywhere between the baptism of the Holy Ghost and where God ordained you to be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son, you're backslidden. That's right. You're backslidden. You're not fully matured. You're not there. Now, I don't say that to hammer you. We're all in the same condition. None of us has got a glorified body yet. We're all backslid. Because we know better. When you fuss, you know better not to fuss, but you do it anyway. Why do you do it anyway? Put your hands on your hips, and I'm going to tell you, oh, good grief. We know better. We've had an example. And he showed us the example of Jesus Christ. He stood in the pattern. He walked in the pattern. And it is for you to do also. Oh no, he was a prophet. If the fingers do it, the whole body's doing it. That's for discernment. That's not for the life. That's not for the works. That's not for the fruits. That's not for the nature. That's for the discernment. The prophet is the eyes. That's where the brain's at. We're supposed to be the mouth and the neck and the arms and the legs. Now, if a person, if their legs don't do what the brain tells it to do, that person is spastic. Or has some terrible disease like MS, which is from the devil. So why is not the bride of Jesus Christ doing what the head says? Huh? Because she's diseased. She's diseased. She's let too many things come in and distract her. Too many demons. That's right. Oh, I could preach a lot hotter than this, but I don't need to. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So Brother Vail said, I said, we got 1,000 distractions every day, Brother Vail. He said, tell me about it. Tell me about it. Oh, if we could be in service. If, you know, we got our jobs and stuff, but if we could be in service every day, just at least in those tapes every day, in prayer every day, you can do that. You don't have to come through these doors to be listening to the voice of God, because I'm just echoing what the prophet said anyway. You've got tapes, and you can get on your knees. And don't just pray, God bless mom and dad, and God bless the ministers in the world, and God bless this and that. How'd you like it if somebody says, you know, talk like that to you? Just plastic. Get down and really mean it. When you talk to God, He's a person. You're not talking so everybody hears you and says, amen, brother. In fact, you should be doing your prayer in private. But how about we begin? We really begin. You know, we work on our bodies. How about we work on our soul? Spend as much time on working on your soul as we do on the body. I'm talking about we eat 3 meals a day. We do exercise once a day. Do we even pray once a day? 2 times a day? 3 times? Yeah, I pray 3 times a day. God bless this food. Amen. The Bible said men like Daniel, Paul, the different ones, they threw open the sash and they prayed 3 times a day. They got to their knees and had sweet hour of prayer. Years ago I said, you know, we have 24 hours in a day. Why don't we tithe God a tenth of our day? 2.4 hours give to God. It's about what it takes you to get through a tape and have a good session of prayer. Huh? Just a thought. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you because we know where we're standing, but we also know our status. We know where we're supposed to be. And so, Lord, we just pray that you'd help us because we're not where we're supposed to be. And so we ask that you would work in us to will and to do. And most importantly, to will, because if we don't have the will to do your will, we won't do. So help us, Father, with our will. And as Brother Branham said, let us not have that attitude that says, Lord, if you take this stuff from me, then I'll serve you. Lord, whether you take it or not, I'm going to serve you anyway. So Father, help us to serve you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee.